Alright, here we go, niñas and niños, señores and señoritas, luchadores and luchadores. The Trending Topics Network, in conjunction with the Verbal Variety Network, are going to bring to you LuChat. LuChat is a podcast that chats all about the happenings within Lucha Underground. And I'm the host for the 52nd installment of this, Finn Fish. And on this week's show, we got a lot of news, a little bit of personal news, and what we're going to do when Lucha Underground goes off the air. We got two episodes of Lucha Underground to cover, and so much more. But before we get into all that, how are you guys doing? Oh man, the 4th of July was a little bit cool, a little bit of for me. I actually had to move people. I actually had to move the people I'm moving in with to a different location, because somehow we put up our money for this new place, and they checked the references and they said, your references aren't calling back, so we cannot offer you this place. And it's like, okay. So I had to move them into a storage unit, which I paid for movers because I don't want to move shit. And that sucked, so I'm paying myself to move. No, I actually got to... We're actually using that to move out of that storage unit to the new apartment, which we paid for, which is not ready yet. So I'm just on the financial end. I can't take care of the business because I get up in people's business when things aren't going well. So I'm just back, just throwing money at the problem, which is the problem. But it's okay. We get a chance to record today, and we're going to do, like I said, two episodes of Lucha Underground, and that's going to be fun because one of them was, both were great. One match in particular was just so damn good. And let's just start off with some Lucha news. All right. So we all know about this guy called Moose down in ROH. A great talent, a big guy, former football player. It seems like he's wrapping up his dates, or his dates are almost done with ROH, and as all expected, he will be going to the WWE. WWE said, we looked at your history, guess what, you have a violent past, and they don't look like they want to sign him at this time. Why is this news? Because he's open to other companies, and one of the companies he's open to is Lucha Underground. So imagine Moose and Lucha Underground. It'd probably be more like the scenario with Big Rick, but Moose could actually go. Moose could actually do some Lucha moves, and, you know, at least a dive. So that's going to be pretty cool to have Moose and Lucha. But, you know, Lucha is way far ahead on her tape, and she's already just wrapped up season 3, so if we do see him, it's not going to be for a while, but it's all good. They can always show little clips and vignettes of him coming in, which Lucha does so well. And speaking of someone possibly coming, let's speak about someone that's possibly leaving, and that is Prince Puma, you know, the biggest acquisition that Lucha Underground has. Just a lot of inconsistencies, you know. Season 3 did end, and Ricochet is able to take bookings still with New Japan Pro Wrestling and other places I've seen him, but he won't be able to go to the WWE because he's still obligated to the end of Season 3. And season 3 hasn't started. So once they air all the episodes of season 3, he would be able to go to a much larger company such as TNA or even WWE, which he's said and then has been reported that he has wanted to go to. Lucha Underground is now promoting to have online exclusive matches. And the match that I seen was the Worldwide Underground. It is a Johnny Mundo and Naruto's versus these guys. It's a very entertaining match. There's just a bunch of jobbers. They don't get names. Matt Stryker sees a guy with his name on the trunk, so he calls him that guy and the other guys. It's a pretty entertaining match. They just do all their spots. They play a little air guitar. It's not that long of a match. You can check that out on Lucha Underground's YouTube page. So if you didn't know, and now you know a little bit more how to catch some good content. And we're going to wrap this up with the Lucha Underground viewership numbers. And damn, not good. Going down. This is for the first episode of Ultima Lucha 2, so part 1. And the first run had 104,000 viewers, which is like down from the week before, which was 116,000 viewers. And it's just been going down from there. The ratings have been just dropping. I hope this is due to other avenues of watching Lucha Underground. I hope that's the case. Because as I see, there are more and more Lucha discussions popping up here and there. So it's out there where I look, but I'm looking for Lucha. And I'm looking for more Lucha news and more Lucha this. And so it's growing in the IWC, I guess you want to call it, but is it growing amongst the fans out there? And with the WWE putting the pedal to the metal with all these individual tournaments and a brand split, they're going to gobble up a lot of guys, and that gobbles up a lot of time, so people might not have time to watch Lucha. They'll watch it weeks and days later, especially that it's in a season form. You could, stop here and then come back to it. You could start, okay, I'm going to, last episode I watched was episode 15. I'll take 2-3 weeks off, jump back on 16, 17, 18, like that. So it's a 3-hour block for you. A lot of people I know watch it just, week to week. But I see and hear that a lot more people just watch it in the big, a big gulp, since it's just an hour, I can skip it. Okay, 2 hours, 3 hours, let me get it all in. But that's going to wrap up that Lucha news. Okay, we did that. We did the Lucha news. And we were going to see who have wanted to chit-chat. Chit-chatting is easy. Many ways to reach me. One is on Twitter, Finfish, S-C-U. Another way is through my Gmail account. It is finfishscu@gmail.com. The most popular way still to reach the show is through the chat line, which is 702-803-2428. 702-803-CHAT, where I talk Lucha. I mean, the reason that I don't have people that would have chit-chatting is because I forgot all what they said. We've been talking Lucha all week, and it's like, oh, who do you pick for Ultima Lucha? Who you got? And I didn't get a chance to just save all that to a different file or pretty much talking to people, over the phone about it. So it's really rare to remember, like, oh, man, should have sent me that in text form. A lot of people, they forget, or, it's like, whatever, I'll just tell you, and maybe you'll remember, which wasn't going to happen that week. But if you ever want to talk Lucha, you want to talk ROH, you can talk whatever wrestling you want. It's the easiest ways to reach me, reach the show, so we can talk about whatever. And right here, we're going to just tell you what we're going to do after Lucha Underground goes off the air, after the season 2 finale, is we're going to keep moving. We have a lot of great show ideas, such as the same that we did last year. We had the Luchat Awards. We probably won't do those to the end of the year, after the season 3. So, it would be a mid-season award. But we still could do, like, recognition. We could still see, we won't look up the roster, but we're going to check out the whole Lucha roster again without using Wikipedia. And we're going to try to look up the whole roster and grade the people that we've seen already, and give them a good grade, bad grade, depending on from the first season to the second season. And for guys that are coming up through Lucha that we haven't seen yet, like our Jessica Havoc, we have a lot of people that are doing dark matches for Lucha, so we're going to give them something new to do in season 3. of Lucha Underground, because you know they're in dark matches just the same as Chula and Melissa was, and she got the call up, I guess you could say. And we're just gonna give those people something cool to do, especially last year. Let me just tell you a story real quick. Last year we had Jacob Cobb, and I'm like, all right, we looked at the roster, tried to look up his matches. We couldn't find nothing about the guy. I'm like, oh, I don't know nothing about him, so we can't do nothing about him. Come to find out, this dude was the man. So, hopefully we can get some of these guys and girls correct this time. And we know some footage of them, so we know what they can do in the ring, and we know what they should be doing in the ring. And let's see if Lucha Underground uses this, because they used a few. We'll do an episode where we go back and see what we have done for these people and see if any of these had panned out even close. Man, that would be pretty cool as well. Look back. We're gonna have a lot of guests on. A lot of speaking guests, people to talk lucha, people to talk other smaller promotions. We're gonna have those people on as well. And if you wanted to get on and talk ROH, Lucha Underground, it's all tied into Lucha Underground. We're gonna just talk the gamut of wrestling when Lucha's off the air, see how people like this season, get other people's perspectives. They didn't like it, they did like it. See what we could fix and see what we could do to contact Lucha about fixing this. Because trust me, a lot of the ideas I came up with were used, no joke. I could show you the airings. We could go back to the archives once they're really up and show you that they used some of these little bit ideas that I have used. And this is before they started taping season two of Lucha Underground, because I was at the first episode of season two of Lucha Underground. So, and then seeing, like, hold on, I came up with that idea. You know, maybe just great minds think alike. I like to think, because if they're stealing my ideas, I would like jump out of the sea. I would be happier than ever. But I just know that they're using, great minds think alike. That, it's in the air, it's easy to see, stuff like that. So I don't want to get too far into believing they are listening to this podcast and stealing my ideas. Which I hope they would, but it's okay. And let's just get into this episode of Lucha Underground, episode 23, The Phoenix, the Dragon, and the Spaceman. Let's hit that music. And we're gonna start off this with our first lucha of the night. Now, as we have Mil Muertes taking on King Cuerno, and King Cuerno gets that ass just beat pillar to a post, can't do nothing about it, and just basically is becoming a squash match. King Cuerno can't get out the blocks, but he gets a chair set up in the corner that Mil Muertes goes for that spear. He dodges that. Mil Muertes runs into the chair, and Cuerno goes for the pin, holds on to all the ropes, all three, I believe, just to hold him down. One, two, three, and your winner and running out of the getting out of the hell out of there is King Cuerno. And pretty good match. This match sets up something else for a little later. That's why it happened like this. But I like this show to, like, hey, I caught you slipping. I'm a hunter. You stepped into the trap. Got him. And we move on to the next thing, and we are in Dario Cueto's office as we have the baddest bitch in Lucha Underground, Ivelisse and Taya, just sitting there and like, hey, I know you two don't like each other. Those two go back and forth. Dario Cueto's, he goes all the way around saying it, but we're going to have a match to see who's the baddest bitch, but he doesn't say that. He just lets it interpret, like, hey, we're going to have a match to see who's the baddest luchadora. But they agree to this match, and Taya's going to show her I'm going to be the new baddest bitch, and Ivelisse ain't having it. And still continuing with this, Ivelisse goes to leave as she crosses paths with Katrina, and she's like, hey, I ain't done with you. Katrina looks down there like, oh, whatever, and she walks into Dario Cueto's office and demands a rematch with Mil Muertes. Demands a rematch against King Cuerno. Dario Cueto laughs her off, literally just laughs at her like, nah, you come in here, you try to take over my temple, you try to attack my brother, you know what, you guys want to fight over a casket, take that shit to a funeral home, not here. And she goes, no, you know what, I demand a rematch versus King Cuerno. And she goes, you know what, we're going to make it a death match. Ooh, now Derek Huerta's intrigued with the idea of a death match. He likes it and he signs it for Ultima Lucha. And now for our second lucha of the night, we have Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on Prince Puma in a, okay, I'm going to say it right here, in the best match, the match of the year, the lucha of the year right here, the match of the lucha match of the year. This is a phenomenal, fantastic display of lucha libre. This match is just great all around. Prince Puma pulling out all of his moves. Dragon has taken upon out moves you never seen before. These two dudes just raised the bar. I see why we have why I see why now that the Prince Puma is sought after. We know him on the indies, Ricochet, tearing it up with Ospreay, bing bing bing. This is why he's in lucha, and this is the reason he's a top guy. This match was, damn, it seemed at times that Prince Puma was carrying Dragon Azteca Jr., but Dragon Azteca Jr. held his own. And if you just listen to this podcast and you don't watch Lucha Underground, and you know, you're like, eh, I'm still on the fence, but I like your show, stop right here. Go and watch this match. Just these two guys, just good display of aerial moves, good display of power moves, good display of all around lucha. So check that out. We're gonna just run through some good stuff. Well, all was good, but they have a name for Dragon Azteca as a lifting up, flying around DDT, you know, the tilt the world at DDT. What they call it? the DDTJ. I guess it's a term down in Tijuana. It's a term, so he just added it, took the world or around the world TJ. Which is pretty cool. I guess it's a drink, I guess. But I gotta get back into it, and you know, didn't take clear notes on that match. It was just so great. I was lost in watching such a great match. We see Prince Puma playing a little bit of the heel, you know, after he hits a move, he stares out into the crowd, you know, taunting them. And then Prince Puma, we're gonna go to the end of this match, which you should just watch this match. Trust me, I usually call the one-on-one matches, I get in depth into them, I because these are the matches people like to see, the one-on-ones. This is a must see. It's going in there. Best pure match. You know, you get these hardcore matches, and those usually go over because they're a different match. But just a pure match, straight lucha match. This is the lucha match of the year right now. Bam. You know, hardcore matches just always just exceed these matches, like I'm saying. But this, if we can just do a category, or you know, this is gonna win no matter what. We're gonna have its own category or whatever, because usually those specialty matches do get a lot more attention and a lot more, you know, this is a lot more better to, you know, just all the elements that can be used. But right here, match of the year, Prince Puma goes up for that 630, hits it. You know how he pops up out of it, claps his hands, like he has chalk on him, and just rolls back, pins Dragon Azteca Jr. 1, 2, 3. Good hard fought match. Rey Mysterio goes to check in on Dragon Azteca. Prince Puma tells him, that's going to be you. At Ultima Lucha Dos, that's going to be you. And this is going to be me, the victor. You're going to be the loser. And usually, you know, you don't see a technical do that. But you see a Rudo, so maybe times are changing for the man that represents Boyle Heights, the hometown homie himself, Prince Puma. Now we are in the ring with Derek Huerta as Tejano, son of Havoc, the Mac and Cage, or also in the ring, and he goes, you guys are here, and I'm going to grant you a unique opportunity. This is going to be for a unique opportunity. See, there's four of you, and it's going to be four unique opportunities, right? So at Ultima Lucha Dos, you guys will be wrestling for a unique opportunity. You like it? All right, get out of my ring. You know what? Hold on. How about you get a jump start on your opponents? And as these guys, all four of these guys, start the brawl, it's just a setup for another match at Ultima Lucha Dos. And on this at part of the episode of Lucha Underground, they run down the card for Ultima Lucha Dos. So, on this podcast, at this time, this is the part where we run down the card for Ultima Lucha Dos. And our first match advertised for Ultima Lucha Dos is that match we just talked about. For the unique opportunity, we're going to have Son of Havoc, Tejano, Mac, and Cage in a unique opportunity match. And this four unique opportunity match is a great matchup. You know, these four guys are very good in the ring, very promisable, but they didn't have nothing to do, so you give these guys something to do. I like that a lot about this. I'm just, I don't know what the unique opportunity would be. I know now, but damn, when you hear about it, you're gonna like it. Next match advertised is the death match between Emir Mortez and King Cuerno. Now, in this match, this is a dumb feud. I don't like it. The first match we had pretty much all technicals, you know, fan favorites. In this match, we have not so much the fan favorites. But I'm not feeling this feud. He kidnapped you. He didn't do that until you put you in a casket and sold you up. Shouldn't you be more, you know, just, okay, you beat his ass, you beat him up. He should do more dastardly things. I mean, you cost him a match. For death, you need to have at least a little bit more of a rivalry going on. Not just, hey, you kidnapped me. I'm talking about beat you down, kick your ass, all that good stuff. So I'm not feeling this one as much as the others. In our next match, Mex Lucha, advertised for Ultima Lucha Dos, is Rey Mysterio Jr. taking on Prince Puma. And damn, this is not the order the match is going, I believe. I don't look ahead, even though I watched the episode ahead. I don't know if these are the matches that go in order, but this is a high caliber match. This is a great match. I could have built it a little more, but the build was there. At least it had enough to grasp onto, because Prince Puma wants to prove that he is the best in Lucha Libre. And hey, Ray, you might be the king, but I'm going to take that throne from you. The prince is coming for you. And, we know Rey Mysterio can't go like he used to go, but we know Ricochet, we know Prince Puma can go even further, so this has gotta be a good match. And our next lucha advertised for Ultima Lucha Dos is, that's right, Black Lotus taking on Dragon Azteca Jr. Well, this storyline right here has been building for two seasons now. We don't know who killed Black Lotus's family. They say it's Mil Mortis, they say it's Dragon Azteca, but we know who killed Dragon Azteca. It was Black Lotus, and now Dragon Azteca Jr. is hunting for this information, looking, and maybe he might get it out of Black Lotus in this match. We don't know, but I'm very intrigued to see where the storyline goes. And our next lucha would be Taya taking on the baddest bitch in the building, Ivelisse, at Ultima Lucha Dos. And I like the build of this one as well, to see, you know, just two women going at it. They have some animosity that Taya is just taunting the hell out of Ivelisse at all turns, even costing Ivelisse the trio's gold and causing them a trip to Ultima Lucha in a Gift of the Gods match. So this bitch is looking out to beat the perfect woman's ass. Next lucha advertised for Ultima Lucha Dos is the Gift of the Gods title match, and it is going to feature Sexy Star Daga, Sinestro de la Mortes, Marty the Moth, his sister Mariposa Kill Shot. And they don't advertise this because, you know, they don't know, but it's going to be a Dark Claw. A lot of people, a lot of picks coming in on this one. This is people's hardest match to pick. You know, the more participants, the harder the match is, especially in Lucha Underground, where all these people could actually win this match, but in turn around and lose the Gift of the Gods title. So, this is why I didn't take the notes from the people. They picked all these matches already, and I was going to tell you who picked what match after the matches, and I just didn't save it. I forgot a few people, and I'm like, oh, if I forgot a few people, it makes sense to forget everyone. My bad. I do have these on record, and we say, hey, I called it. I will give it to you. Especially, I know these people don't look ahead. That's the key. I could tell they don't look ahead because, just trust me, there's ways I checked, and there's ways I see, and there's ways that I know that a lot of these people did not look ahead to see the results of these matches. But it'd be nice if Mariposa continued that storyline. It'd be nice if any of these guys, except for Daga and Sinestro de la Muerte's win. Everyone has a single storyline, even the Dark Claw. You know, he's coming in, his first match, he wins a title. Killshot wins, Marty Demoff goes after him. You know, hey, I'll put up my Gift of the Gods title up for those dog tags. That's how important those dog tags are to him. So, Mariposa wins. Sexy Star's like, you know what? Come on, bitch. Let's do this shit again. Let's go. And vice versa, you know, Sexy Star wins. Mariposa's like, you know what? I'm your biggest rival. You know, she can't talk, but she points at it, and Sexy Star's like, yeah, we'll go at it again so I can get you out of my hair, get you away from me forever. The other two, you know, Sinestro de la Muerte, maybe a little bit of storyline there, being his mentor, his the guy he looks up to, Miro Mortez, has been the Lucha Underground world champ. Maybe Daga. Yeah, no storyline there. No story that I can think of, you know. So maybe you could think of one. What would you think Daga could do? You know, tell me on the when you chit chat with me. Tell me what you think Daga could do. Because, you know, we don't sit here and just give a storyline to Killshot. Killshot's great. Killshot's super. Killshot is, you know, a dude, cool dude. But what I give storylines is for everyone and everyone. So that's the way I operate. You know, oh, forget Daga. No one cares. He cared enough to put him in the match. Let's give him the credit of giving him something to do with a storyline that could propel him if he wins the Gift of the Gods title. Did I even make a pick? I haven't been picking any of these. So we'll probably pick later. You know, I already know what the first episode of Ultima Lucha, so I'm not going to pick nothing then. And then when I find these, we're going to just go back after Ultima Lucha is done. We're going to go back and check everyone's records. It gives me plenty of time to check everyone's to see if they came out correct and percentage. And you know what? For all those people who did do that, we'll send you a Luchat t-shirt for the people who already picked their picks for Ultima Lucha and sent them in and I didn't get to read them. And if you already own a shirt, whatever, we'll do something special for you. Unless you want the other shirt, because I know a lot of people ordered the shirt, or got the shirt, I should say, order, you know, you ordered it. But and then a lot of people didn't, but they sent their picks in, so we'll give out a shirt to you if you got these right. And trust me, I know these people didn't look ahead because there is little telltale. I'll tell you one day how one of the methods I use to tell, but right now I can't. Whatever. Okay, let's move on to the next match at Ultima Lucha Dos, which would be Pentagon Jr. taking on Matanza Cuervo. This is the match. This should be the Prince Puma match, or this match should be the last one on. But is that advertised this way on here? Whatever. I guess this is the segue into the next match. But this match right here is just going to be spectacular. We know not much can slow down Matanza Cuervo. Not much could hold this guy back, especially if you're a smaller wrestler. So what does Pentagon have to do? Pentagon has to go places he's never been before to retrieve this goal that he's never had before. And hopefully he could do so. Hopefully. But, just, this is the match right here. This is, you know, this is for the Lucha Underground World title. This is the match. This is what people come to see, the struggle of Pentagon Jr. getting so close but so far away, and just this Matanza, boop, I'm here, I'm the champ, what you going to do about it? So let's see how that one turns out. And our last advertised match on this episode of Lucha Underground for Ultima Lucha Dos is for the Trios titles, as we have the Worldwide Underground. This name is dumb as hell. Let me start off with that. That name is dumb. So we're going to switch it back to Johnny Mundo and Naruto's tanking on the dragon, air and space. That is a shitty ass name. You know, something with technicals, you know. Oh, I guess I put the first one, Rudo. So we go with the technicals. The soaring technicals, they all fly, right? High fly technicals. You know, untouchable technicals, something like that. It's dragon policeman and spaceman. No. I know it's not, but didn't like the name selection. I guess they're not going to make a t-shirt, so I guess they don't care. But that is our matchups for Ultima Lucha. They're missing a lot of matchups I would want to see, or a lot of storylines I want to see not culminate at Ultima Lucha Dos, but be prominent. What is up with Mascarita Sagrada and Famous B? I don't see anything with that. What about Joy Ryan and, you know, and them being undercover cops? I want to see that happen in Ultima Lucha Dos. Where is that going to play out? Where is that going to come from? Hopefully they touch on it in Ultima Lucha Dos, because I don't want to wait a whole season again to figure out. I don't know how long. They didn't advertise. This is odd. How long in between the last episode of Season 2 and the first episode of Season 3? They didn't advertise that. They don't know. There's a problem right there. But we'll address that a little later. I just popped up in my mind like, hey, they didn't advertise that. But we still have to get through this episode. And our final Lucha of the night would be Phoenix taking on Johnny Mundo. This is a very good match. They explained to us what's missing with Phoenix. Phoenix has been through wars and has not got a chance to just relax and rest and just to be where Johnny Mundo has needed help to propel him through this. Phoenix has been going at it alone. The man of a thousand lives has just been burning through him with all these big time feuds. And rightfully so, he's been the Lucha Underground World Champ, the Gift of the Gods title holder as well. And Johnny Mundo is finally getting his recognition. Like I said, another clean, cool match. Not clean as the finishes. We're just going to roll right into the finish. Phoenix hits a super Spanish fly. A super C4, if you want to call it that. 1, 2, but Scrap doesn't even get to count as Taya jumps those things up on top of the apron and distracts Marty Elias. Phoenix finally gets up like, hey, what's going on, man? Johnny Mundo grabs his Trios championship title, cracks Phoenix over the head. Marty Elias finally realizes Taya is not as pretty as she thinks she is. Turns around, 1, 2, 3, the winner of the match is Johnny Mundo. But that's not the end, as now the rest of the Rudos make their way down to the ring. They start jumping on Phoenix. Phoenix's five flying technicals come down, just a badass other name. They come down to help his guys. Taya is the difference, but not anymore, as Ivelisse makes herself down to the ring. The Rudos get the upper hand, and then eventually the technicals toss everyone out. And that's how we end that episode of Lucha Underground. A great episode leading into Ultima Lucha Dos Part 1. I liked it a lot. Big match between between Prince Puma and Dragon Azteca Jr. A lot of storyline development. We're going to move into Ultima Lucha. But this last match should have been for something. You know, the winner picks the stip of the match. You know, so something like that. That'd have been a little bit more, you know, why he's too fighting, why he's couldn't. But I guess we already seen a nunchuck fight between Jack Evans, PJ Black, going against Drago and Aerostar. But, you know, put something up on the line. You know, that'd be pretty cool to see it. You know, maybe it'd be a ladder match or, you know, a hardcore match or, you know, a tornado style match. You know, something like that with this match. But it's old. Okay, it's all good. Maybe they announced that before the match. Hey, I beat you. I'm going to pick the step. Jericho says, all right, whatever. Let's do it. But that was that episode of Lucha Underground. Now it's time to get into our next episode of Lucha Underground. And this episode is Ultima Lucha Dos Part 1. And we're going to start this off with our first Lucha of the night. And it's a semi-final match in the for the unique opportunity. I guess it's a tournament now. I did not know this before. It's okay. Let's see how this one plays out as our participants are the Mac and Cage. And before the match can even start, Derek Horta comes out and goes, hey, you know what? Last year, Ultima Lucha was a big event, and we want to be big, even bigger than last year. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off the same way we did last year with the Mac taking on Cage, but we're going to do it the exact same way, and this is a Falls Count Anywhere match. Now start the match, and these two go right at it, and they're stating through this, what is this unique opportunity? The best unique opportunity out there. Better than any unique opportunity Derek Cortos ever handed out. So I'm already intrigued. I'm already with this. Let's get into more of this match as brawling, fighting, getting it on, just kicking each other's ass. You gotta like stuff like that. You just gotta be happy for when these luchadors go anywhere and everywhere taking each other out. And I'm not gonna recap this whole match because it's everywhere. It's just all in the stages, everywhere and anything. But we have the Mac getting hit with stop signs, the Mac drinking some Macweisers, hitting the stunners. We have Cage power move after power move, just great athleticism between these two dudes. You know they had a history because at Ultima Lucha Uno, Ultima Lucha One, the Mac lost to Cage with getting driven through a cinder block, curve stomp through a cinder block. This looks like this is going to happen again. The Mac is being set up to go through the cinder block, but they played it off perfectly this time. As now Cage somehow slips, they say something, he slips on the beer that's around ringside, and the Mac, you know, slightly recovers and quickly gets a roll up victory on the Cage. So moving on to the finals of the For Unique Opportunity tournament is the Mac, and the only way to beat Cage is either Matanza or beating him quickly. There ain't that many people beating Cage, which is good to keep him strong and all. But yeah, the Mac has beat Cage plenty of times, but just a quick roll up. So I like that. Keeps Cage strong. Makes the Mac seem like a quick luchador on his feet. And now our next lucha of the night is another semi-final match in the For Unique Opportunity tournament now, and it is the blue collar brawler Tangano taking on Son of Havoc. And we see some little bit of bar stuff around the ring, and Derek Cotter steps out of his office and says, hey, what do I think when I see a cowboy and a biker? I think of a bar, and I like bar fights. So this is a Boyle Heights bar fight. I like the name. It's unique. It's a little different, you know. Not a Boyle Heights street fight. A Chicago street fight. A New York street fight. No, it's a Boyle Heights bar fight. And these two start at it. And, oh, man, this is another great brawl around the ring. This is, you know, in any other company, I don't like when they brawl around the ring. But in Lucha, they get interactive. They get thrown into the crowd. They get thrown into this door, which is now becoming the equivalent of the WWE's Spanish announce table. Because this door gets beat up. People fell through the ceiling. People went through the door. But it was funny. Tangano throws Son of Havoc through the door. Tejano, son of Havoc, I should say, emerges from the door with a fire extinguisher wearing a fireman's hat. And they say, oh, we see a cowboy, we see a biker, now we see a fireman. What a match. And so Son of Havoc sprays the extinguisher on Tejano. Tejano's like, you know, selling it. And then Tejano grabs a bottle and he does hit Son of Havoc, but Son of Havoc has his hard hat on. It was just hilarious. He's just like, okay. And they go back at it. Another good spot is when Tejano gets driven through this bar, the bar stand that's sitting out beside the ring. That was a great little dealio right there. And you see Tejano's back all written up with these little pieces of glass, you could say, that are in his back. It's pretty cool, but we're just going to fly right into the finish of this match as Son of Havoc has placed a crate into the ring full of beer, you know, a beer crate that they hold around. It was wooden, has a bunch of beers. He smashes those bottles up. Tejano fights out of it. They go back to it as Tejano is thrown into the ring by Son of Havoc. Son of Havoc does his double stomp. Now Tejano is dazed, stepping around. Son of Havoc bounces off the ropes with a super kick, a flying foot, just lays the hell out of Tejano. Tejano's back falls into this crate. Now we see Son of Havoc scattering over there for the 1, 2, 3. Now moving on to the finals of the 4 Unique Opportunity match is Son of Havoc. Another great brawl. You know, these brawls always are just good matches because you always get someone gets the upper hand. It's always, I see more of an even match when someone can just use a weapon. And you just gotta like it. So now the finals would be Mac taking on Son of Havoc. Now they run through the card of Ultima Lucha Dos, or what's left on the card of Ultima Lucha Dos. And nothing much has changed. No matches have been added. No matches have been changed at all. But we finally get a better name for the Phoenix's crew. It is now a Fire, Space, and Fury. And I like that one a lot better. A lot better than what I came up with. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. Other than that, nothing has changed with the participants in Ultima Lucha Dos. And our third lucha of the night is the finals of the For Unique Opportunity tournament, as we're going to have Son of Havoc taking on the Mac. And these two participants are in the ring. Derek Corto comes out and goes, hey, you know what? This is for the unique opportunity. This is for something big. This is for something large. And this is going to be Falls Count Anywhere 2. So now start this match. And damn, again, they're going at it. I like that they say the Mac might be able to out-lucha Son of Havoc here. The Mac is a larger and could do a lot more lucha moves than we have seen from the Son of Havoc. And now they're saying Son of Havoc has become the son of the Boya Heights. Boya Heights has taken him underneath the wing. He must just be a resident of this place. But another good match. And something I didn't like about this match, these guys weren't selling any of the effects of the matches earlier. Not a big deal, but this is something that you would complain about if it was another wrestling organization. So I got to complain about it here. So that wasn't all that good, but it was a great match nonetheless. And we're just going to fly right into the finish of this match as we see Son of Havoc hitting a back springboard elbow. Bam, laying the Mac perfectly across for that shooting star press. The open road press, I don't know what he wants to call it, but that's what it is above the star press, you know, I don't know, whatever. 1, 2, 3, and your winner of the match, and the winner of the For the Unique Opportunity tournament, Son of Havoc. Derek Corto comes out and congratulates Son of Havoc, and goes, okay, with any of my unique opportunities, there's like something good, and there's something not so good. It's your choice right here. You can have a contract set up right now. You will have main event. You have the title match at Ultima Lucha 3. Boom. I like it already. I like this guy. I like it. like, damn, that far in the future to give this guy a title shot at that, you know? Or you can have $250,000, more money than he says Son of Havoc will ever see. Either way, come on, what you thinking? What you gonna take? Son of Havoc goes, you keep your money, I'm going to take this title shot at Ultima Lucha 3. Derek Cotto says, you should have took the money. Now that I have all this money, who am I going to give it to? I'm going to give it to your opponent, because now you will be wrestling for that contract for the Ultima Lucha 3. And if you win, you keep the contract. If you lose, you get nothing. But if your opponent wins, he gets the $250,000. Right? Let's see who your opponent is. And it is Famous P coming down to the ring saying, I told you I'll be back. I told you I'll have someone to come out here. I told you I'll be bigger and better. And I brought a doctor to the house. And it's none other than Dr. Wagner Jr. Bam, right there. One another legend. And I didn't know too much about Dr. Wagner. I know Dr. Wagner Jr., I should say. I didn't know too much about him. You know, I just started really getting into AAA and the lineage of the Lucha Libre down there. Apparently, Dr. Wagner is a big-time brutal, and he went against the guys like Mil Mascaris, holy shit, Blue Demon, and all the originals. So he was the Rudo to foil their plans. And now his, you know, his son is, you know, I've seen him in matches. He always plays the face, so I don't understand this. But it's all good to have another legend stepping into the temple. Usually play the soundbite, you know, hey, I heard about you, but I don't have it right now available. But this is all good, so now we have Son of Havoc versus Dr. Wagner Jr. for one. Gets $250,000, which would be Dr. Wagner Jr. And if Son of Havoc wins, he will get the contract to wrestle at Ultima Lucha 3 for the Lucha Underground World title. And damn, throughout this whole night, let me say this right now, I've been messing up on Son of Havoc's name. I don't know what the world it is. The Son of Havoc. Whatever. It gets me all messed up when I just say it out of the blue. It doesn't sound like it fits, but it doesn't roll off the tongue as well as other words. But it's all good. Another great match. Son of Havoc gives it his all. And gives his all. Got his all. And just getting out there after it. But Dr. Wagner Jr. is too fresh, too skilled to lose to this dude. And we see some, oh my gosh, we see some great submission holds. Man, if anything I want to learn in Spanish is how to say these submission holds. Where do these submission holds come from? Damn, they give some, you know, backstories on some of these submission holds. But damn, they look so cool. They look like it fucking hurts. That's right, we cuss on this damn show. It looked like it hurts. Then not these other ones where you see the guy, you know, going for the ropes. These dudes go for the ropes, but it looks, these moves look painful as hell, because it's something we don't see usually, you know. The WWE, you know, I'm not just picking on them, but here it is, they like submission holds that show the opponent's face, that show the, you know, the person in anguish. You know, and Lucha, they're wearing masks. You can't see their face. So just more the body reaction, how they're reacting to these holds. And the person putting the hold on, how is he moving and how is he reacting? So different type of style. And both styles are great. Prefer the Lucha style a little bit more. But it's just, like I said, it's all good. But we have just the end of this. The finish comes when Dr. Wagner hits a sort of like a Michinoku driver. It is a, like, it is basically a Michigan No True driver for the 1, 2, 3, and now a quarter of $1 million. Richard is Famous B, apparently. Famous B and Dr. Wagner Jr., which now they say a doctor is in the house because Son of Havoc is going to need one. That was pretty cold. But I like this. It's like Famous, they're saying, Famous B, you can still take 10% of that, and you still won't have enough money. This is Dr. Wagner's person. Famous B didn't do nothing. Famous B didn't enter at all. And Brittany's happy. Everyone's happy. Except for Dr. Wagner, who's just standing there like, and what's next? This little bit of money, I'm here to cause some pain. I'm here to show off my name. And I like Dr. Wagner. I like Dr. Wagner's mask. I don't know. I don't know what Wagner and that Espanol content means, but I like his mask. It's a throwback mask, but a new school feel to it. It has more lit up. Not like Blue Demon's mask, you know, Blue Demon Jr. You should have added something new to it. You know, you wear your father's stuff. You could add something to bring it into the future, which I see that Dr. Wagner Jr. has done. I've seen him a lot, and I've seen the Dr. Wagner mask. Yeah, it's a cool-looking mask. You could know it's a heel mask, but when Dr. Wagner Jr. does it, it's a little bit more lit up. Dr. Wagner Jr. is a pretty big dude, too, so whatever. They're a little bit richer. And that was our first episode of Altamalucho Dos, Part 1. What do you think? I think they tried to surprise us with this tournament. And I was telling you, this is how I could tell if people were cheating. They didn't know that if Son of Havoc wins. So they would have said Son of Havoc wins, not Son of Havoc won. But Son of Havoc did not win. He did not win the unique opportunity match. He lost. He lost to Dr. Wagner. So people wouldn't, they can't say, he wins. Well, they would say, they wouldn't guess, because they would already know what the outcome is. So they would be picking out of the people that were there, and they would have to pick a loser. You probably don't get what I'm saying, but you wouldn't pick a loser. If you knew a guy was going to win, you'd probably say, we win the first match. No one knows. No one said it was a tournament-style match, so how do you know this? There you go. Then you're picking a loser. You pick that there's a tournament-style match. Then you're picking a loser because he did not win the match. I guess he won the tournament, but he didn't win the for unique opportunity. Whatever. Oh man, this has been a long episode, which is good. You know, when I do two episodes, hopefully we can get back to one episode so we can do Altamalucho Dos Part 2 all alone, and it'd be good to hear that. Yeah, anyways, but so far I'm glad that you had tuned in to the Trending Topics Network to check this show out. I'm glad for anyone and everyone who's ever listened to an episode of Lou Chat. I'm thanking anyone that contacts me throughout the week on either GroupMe, on Facebook, the chat lines, Twitter, all those avenues to talk Lucha with me. Even if it's a 2-minute bit about how you don't like it, a 2-minute bit on how you love it, 2-minute bit on if you're indifferent, who wants to come, whatever you want to talk about, I'm there. And I'm thankful for those people who I want to talk. And that's pretty much it. I hope you have a good holiday season. When it was the 4th, it's past the 4th now, but whatever. I hope you drank it up and burnt some shit down. But with all of that, now that you loo-chatted, adios!